Oh, my. We got an exciting week coming, don't we? Anybody voted early?
No.
Not yet? Oh, a few of you did? Oh, good. Excellent. Well, it's a big day, and our nation is right on that precipice of whichever way the majority votes, we need to be ready. We need to be ready at all times to maintain our walk, because there's a lot at stake, even for us as believers, and the freedoms that we have right now. We need to be very aware of that and be very thankful. And for those who haven't voted yet, we haven't yet, but we are going to Tuesday. I think in my lifetime, I have never seen our country come to that place of polarization like it is right now. And it's a real stand for righteousness and truth and godly principles as a nation. I've not ever seen it come to a head like it is right now. So I definitely feel privileged that we are of this generation and to be able to make a difference for truth and righteousness and stand up for the principles and values of the Lord and take our stand and believe God, the nation is in His hands. And the Word says that He raises up kings and He removes them. And so some of us believe a lot of the prophecies and from a long time ago, 2014 and 2015, that people prophesied that we would have a leader that would be a trumpet to this nation to wake it from its slumber. And I believe we're seeing that day and seeing that hour. And think about that. And that's all political. That's about as political as I'll get, but I will be really political and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And you know, we haven't done this in a long time, and I think we should. I want to split you up just temporarily, and I'm going to give you a J over there, and I want you to shout it out. Give me a J on the side.
J.
Hey, give me an E over here.
E.
And an S over here.
Yes.
And a U over there.
Yes.
And an S over there.
Yes.
What's that spell?
Jesus!
I can't hear you. What's that spell?
Jesus!
Did you hear that? Hell? Who's the King of Glory?
Jesus!
Who's the Prince of Peace?
Jesus!
Who's the Lord of all?
Jesus!
Oh, God, you're so good. Ooh, don't that feel good? Oh, you got to have a little fun in Bartonsville once in a while, amen? Shout it. All of hell heard that, but mostly all heaven heard it too. Just the joy of declaring His Lordship. Anyone else before we have our opening scripture? We've had a lot of them. They all are good. The one that I brought this morning will be the next one that we're going to cover in our teaching on fail-proof living. And I'll just lightly touch on it as an opener. And then when after praise and worship and we come back to the main message for the morning, I'll hit it again. But we talked about virtue as the first thing that Peter... You go back in the teaching where we started a few weeks ago, Peter said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. And there were seven things that are added in the life of a believer from the time we first received Christ, because it all starts with saving faith. And now virtue is its moral excellence, a new value system based on God's word and His will. And so one of the first things I wanted to look about look as I was doing the study was how He's changed our character. And the word good came to me about being a good person and how often we hear that in our society around us. And so the opening scripture this morning is going to be from Proverbs chapter 12 and verses 2, 3, and 4. So you certainly can go there. And I have it in the King James, but also in the Passion Translation, which is derived from the Aramaic words that were spoken in biblical times. And I'm sure that pastors who are familiar with Israel and the languages spoken in early times, Aramaic was very prevalently spoken. So I'll read it in the in the Old English first. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that makes ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. And that's really shocking in the language. It sounds very rough and abrasive in the Old English. But it came about because I was thinking on the level of being good. Now that we're Christians, we hear a lot of people say, oh, they're really good people, or they're a good person, and they say it in a right way. But I remember Jesus, when someone said to him about being a good man, and he snapped back rather abruptly, and he said, there's no one good but my Father in heaven. And I thought, wow, if Jesus said that, you can come to two conclusions. Number one, he wasn't God incarnate in the flesh, and he was nothing more than Joseph and Mary's son and worked in his father's carpenter shop. Or he really was God, and he could say that because he was declaring he was good, but not in and of himself as a physical human being, but as the Spirit of God dwelled in him. Then he could say that. There is none good but God. And so it shows me too that as believers, we too, if anyone sees good in our lives, it's good that we give the glory to the Lord, because it's his goodness in us. It's by the power of his Spirit that made us good and virtuous. And so it's going to continue in this virtue part that Peter wrote about, but I want to read it now in the Passion Translation. It says, if your heart is right, favor flows from the Lord. Because you see, it puts the focus in the right area. A lot of times, people can do good things, but if the motive is wrong, then the good things get done. But the motive is wrong. You can have a motive of, well, I want to impress somebody. Like the priests would extend the hems of their garments to pray in public and make people think that they were more holy than they were. So it's about the motive of the heart. If our heart is right, favor flows from the Lord, and that is so true. You don't have to ask for it. It just follows you. It's part of the things that follow us as believers if our heart is right. And it says, but a devious heart invites his condemnation. We condemn ourselves by our own actions, by our own motives. We bring condemnation, where we open the door to the enemy and he can speak to us. He is the accuser of the brethren. And a lot of this is about spiritual warfare too. And when we take our stand, where do we stand? And are our motives pure and right? And it says, you can't expect success by doing what's wrong. But the lives of his lovers are deeply rooted and firmly planted. And here's the one about the virtuous wife. The integrity and strength of a virtuous wife transforms her husband into an honored king. But the wife who disgraces her husband weakens the strength of his identity. That's a lot. When you think about a good man and a virtuous woman. But we have to fully embrace the fact that it's because we're new creations in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the Holy Spirit has, the blood of Jesus has cleansed our temple, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. So you are a holy temple unto the Lord, otherwise the Holy Spirit wouldn't abide in you and remain with you. So goodness and virtue are really important that Peter talked about, because once we get saved, that's the beginning. And then the Lord builds in our lives as time goes on. And we'll talk more about virtue in a little while this morning. And we'll continue on with that study, because it's really, really fascinating how how Peter, a fisherman who wasn't learned in much of anything except how to catch fish, would have such revelation from the Lord by the Holy Spirit and write how God forms himself in his followers. And it's really interesting when you take it apart a little at a time and how God builds building stones in our lives. See, a lot of people look at obstacles. They take blocks and they look at them as obstacles. But from the Christian perspective, it's their building stones. And God is building something very beautiful in our lives. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinks of the water, of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It was John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. In John chapter 7, Jesus said, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The water that Jesus talked about, he that believeth on him, as the scriptures have said, out of that person's belly will flow rivers of living water. Everywhere we go, our communication, the words that we speak words of life. We speak words of healing, wholeness, wellness, victory, overcoming, more than conquerors. Not fearful words, but faith-filled words. Always remember that. Faith-filled words, not fear-filled words. And in this time and age that we're living in, these scriptures suddenly came about the rain. And it isn't a natural rain, it's a spiritual rain, of course, that we're talking about, because the Holy Spirit waters us daily. And he is the living water that Jesus talked about, the Spirit. And their words, he fills us with his word. And so that when we speak, his word comes out. But it only happens if we're born again, born of the Spirit. So the question is today, is everyone in the house born again? Is there anyone that's never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and received Jesus as your personal Savior? We can talk a lot about him, but do we know him? So I leave that thought with you. It's living water flowing from your innermost being. When you speak, does the word of life come forth and bring life to others that you have encounters with or conversations with? That's the question. It's part of that virtue that Peter was talking about. What has happened to us as a result of that change of being born again, of being now in the family of God, and let God adopt us? Some of us were orphans. And he snatched us out of the orphanage of hell and brought us into his glorious liberty of life and eternal life. In any good that people see in our lives, we want to make sure that we connect that with him. We can do a lot of good things and mean well, but let the goodness that people see in us. See, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, which you find in Galatians chapter 5. Goodness is one of them. Whenever I teach those, I teach it as the evidence of God's indwelling presence. If we say he lives within us, what's the fruit of that? What's the evidence of that? Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When Alice saw those words, she conned my graveside service out of me before she's gone home to be with Glory. She's a sly one, isn't she? And she said, that really made me stop and think. It's very thought-provoking when you read Psalm 23, and don't just read it, but think about it. Will these things follow me? What will I be known for? What is my legacy? What will I leave behind? What will people say about you? Did you show goodness? Did you show kindness? Did you show mercy? Did you show love? And so we're going to be looking at a lot of things in Peter's teaching. I've just taken what he spoke and expounded on it a little more, but it's really, really good because each portion of Scripture we come to, it confronts us face to face with hopefully a deeper and better revelation and understanding of why we're even here. Not just in this building, but why are we here on this earth at this time? For such a time as this, He needs His church extremely so. And I really feel like we are really privileged to be brothers and sisters at this time, because this year isn't finished yet and there's a lot of tumultuous things to come. And I'm so thankful that we have Him. Not only do we hold fast to Him, but He holds fast to us and He keeps us close to His heart. Before we pray, I have one prayer request that Elizabeth asked if I would mention this to all of you, because she's moving from where she is in Bellis Falls at Sterling House. Is that it, Jesse? Yes. And she only has a dresser or two. And so if you have any furniture that might interest of her or meet her needs, please talk with her. And if there's something that you can spare to help her in that regard. She said, I'm leaving with almost nothing, but she's believing that God is going to provide and will do that. So I'd like to incorporate that in the prayer and then pray for anybody else that has needs as well. Father, we thank You for this morning. It was like a vapor in time. We were here and suddenly this time has gone so quickly. And we thank You that when we get caught up in the Spirit with You, it's such a precious place to be. And we're so thankful that You call us Your beloveds. Oh, Father, what a wonderful thing. Nobody in our lives called us beloveds, most of us, but You did, because You do love us. And I thank You, and I thank You for the provision for Elizabeth. I thank You that every need that she has will be met. I thank You that she steps out in faith and not in fear. I thank You that her course is set, her sails are set. And may the wind of the Spirit blow mightily, taking her in the direction that You would have her go for this period of time in her life. Because all around her, where she is, she could feel very content and just kick back and wait until she comes home to Glory. But I thank You for her boldness and her confidence and her trust in You, that You will lead her and guide her and make full provision for her needs. In Jesus' name, amen.